Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Pretty much told my children my history, but I guess they just reading the feelings, the emotions that were involved, they were actually able to grasp it much better by reading my story. Rather than it coming from me, they could actually read it in my book and they could really relate to it and just know exactly what their mother went through. And even my daughter says, you know, Mom, I have a new respect for you and what you survived in your childhood. And that really, that meant so much to me. And my son hugged me after that. He says, wow, Mom, I really admire your courage for putting this out there. I know how difficult it was for you to publish this.
Susan Landes and her mother shared a difficult childhood, leading to abandonment issues, estrangement, and then a need for care on a dementia journey. Despite decades of abuse, Susan put aside her feelings and came to her mother's aid, taking on not only the role of mom's caregiver, but eventually the role of caring for her father. This experience inspired her first book, Optimal Caregiving, A Guide for Managing Senior Health and Well-Being, and then a second, more personal memoir called In Search of Rainbows, A Daughter's Story of Loss, Hope, and Redemption. Susan is a certified nutritionist and certified senior advocate. Prior to this, she spent over 20 years working in the field of health information management. In this episode, we discuss how she overcame her difficult childhood and rebuilt her relationship with her mother, her search for the rainbows in dementia care, and the unexpected gift she received from her mother's Lewy body disease. Hi, Susan. How are you? Welcome to the All's Authors podcast.
Hi, I am great. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here too, because you are an important member of our management team, and we've been trying to do this podcast interview for over a year now. And at last, life has settled down enough for you to get behind the microphone with me. So that's terrific. You have a lot of interesting insights for our listeners and a good story to tell. So why don't we just get started? Tell us a little bit about your mom. You had mentioned before in your writings on All's Authors that you had a difficult relationship with her. How did that affect your dementia journey?
Sure. My mother was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at the age of 67, and a few years later with Lewy body dementia. She died 2 years later in a memory care center, almost 2 years to the day that I admitted her there. We had always had a very difficult relationship. She suffered from depression. She was a bitter, angry, very cruel person. I had a younger brother, my only sibling, who was almost 6 years younger than I was, and she seemed to favor him over me. She would do things that would just baffle me. She would say that she was going to commit suicide and somehow make it sound like it was my fault if she did. And those kinds of things were traumatizing, especially to a young person, a child. And for some reason, I always thought there was something wrong with me. I was unlovable. Why couldn't my mother love me? But she loved my little brother. And whenever she would decide to pack a bag and just leave, we would come home from school and she would be gone. We didn't know why. We didn't know when she would be back. My father just kind of seemed to live with it. It was these forms of abandonment over and over again, emotionally, physically, mentally, in every possible way, that I just couldn't imagine why she would treat me that way. By the time I was 11, my father and her were separated. She said she didn't want me, but she wanted my brother. So I went to live in a foster home for a short time. And as I got older, things escalated and they became almost unbearable. So by the time I was 16, I had had enough and I moved out and became an emancipated adult. Those were some very tough years, but now that I look back, they certainly gave me the strengths that I have now. I married at the age of 19 and we moved away. My husband and I moved away to Denver, Colorado. And that was almost 800 miles away from the North Dakota town where we both grew up. I just wanted to put distance between my mother and my past. And I thought that finally I had escaped all this stuff and I was done with her. But, you know, as the years went on, I couldn't escape the pain. It haunted me. I always longed for a mother and I always missed her. And I always wondered if things could have been different for us somehow. Fast forward 30 years and I was very close with my dad. And we would mostly have contact through phone calls. We didn't really visit much. We did on occasion, but because of the distance mostly, and also because I didn't feel comfortable even being in the same room as my mother at that time, we pretty much kept it to just phone calls. So 10 years later, after I moved to Colorado, my brother followed me, and he also lives and still does live in Colorado. So at the time when my mother was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, my father retired and he was going to be her sole caregiver. He wanted to take care of her and do everything he could for her. He was a very dedicated husband. And so anyway, he wanted to move closer to family, meaning me and my brother, but he didn't like the big city. It intimidated him. He wanted nothing to do with it. So they moved to a small town in Nebraska to an assisted living community. And that was about 3 hours away. So that's where they ended up. And over those few years that they lived there, I slowly started to have a relationship. We were building a relationship again. And I mostly did it to support my dad. I wanted to make sure my dad was okay. And my mother's behavior was becoming more extreme. And I knew it was more than Parkinson's. And then she started to show signs of dementia. She was starting to show signs of really bizarre behavior, hallucinations. She would get up at night, walk around, see people that weren't there. It was really getting traumatic for my dad. And my dad hid a lot of that from me. He didn't tell me, but I knew he was starting to sound more and more stressed. And I sensed it. I could hear it in his voice. But every time I asked him, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" He would just, "I'm fine. I'm just fine." So, of course, I believed him, thinking, well, okay, he must be fine. So anyway, one day the bottom dropped out and I got this phone call from my dad that ended up changing the course of our lives. I answered the phone and I could hear my dad's voice. It was muffled and far away and I couldn't really hear what he was saying. And then all of a sudden I heard my mother yelling, screaming, things were being thrown. It sounded like there was just a lot of commotion in the background and then the phone went dead. And I thought, oh no, what's happening? So frantically, I tried to call back and there was no answer. I called two more times and again, no answer. So I called the administrator at the assisted living facility where they were and I explained my situation. And so she said, okay, I'll go upstairs and check on him and I'll call you right back. Well, what seemed like an eternity, she finally called me back and she said, well, there's a crisis situation. Your mother was having some kind of an episode. I brought the nurse with me and she was examined by the nurse and we took her to the hospital by ambulance and your father followed. And so she said, I recommend that you get here as soon as possible. And I thought, well, okay, fine. I'll get there as soon as I can. But as luck would have it, there was a snowstorm raging outside and the interstate between Nebraska and Colorado was shut down. So I kept in touch with my dad by phone. And 2 days later, I finally made it there. My husband and I drove there and my dad told me that she had a UTI, which exacerbated her symptoms, which is common with dementia patients. So because she was still hallucinating, she was still very erratic. The hospital said that they would still keep her for a few more days. So in the meantime, the administrator told us that my mother could not come home anymore because she had dementia and the facility was not licensed for memory care. So we were stuck. They were in this small town. There was no amenities, no facilities that would keep her. And so we kind of thought, okay, now what do we do? This is a problem, one that we had not anticipated. When they moved into the assisted living facility, she did not have dementia. She only had Parkinson's. So they would let her come. So my husband dropped me off, went back to Colorado, and I decided to stay with my dad indefinitely until we could get this figured out. I had worked in health information management at that time for almost 25 years. And I had to talk to my boss and tell her that I don't know when I'm coming back. I have to take a leave of absence. So she was not happy about it, but I had no choice. So she granted me the time. So I stayed with my dad, and the hospital was ready to discharge my mother. So a nursing home, a local nursing home there, offered to take her for 2 weeks, but no longer than 2 weeks. So that gave us 2 weeks to figure out what we were going to do. My dad and I decided that it would probably be best for them to move now and come back to Colorado with me. I tried to get my brother to help me. He was absolutely no help, wanted nothing to do with it, kept telling me he was just much too busy to help out. So everything fell to me. So I was in Nebraska, and I had to make hundreds of phone calls, a lot of internet research, and try to figure out how I was going to get my mother into a memory care facility. She could no longer live at home, any home, not my home, not with my dad. She had to be put in a facility, which I dreaded, but I knew it had to happen. So finally, the second week into all this, I found one that had an opening that wasn't too far from my house. They checked out. They had great reviews. I interviewed them by phone. They took my parents' insurance. It all worked out. So I thanked my lucky stars and secured the room for her. So once we did that, I realized it was the first time that my mom and dad would be separated in almost 50 years. They could no longer live together. So I put all my parents' things in storage. And I contacted a mover explaining the situation. So my dad came home with me. He stayed with me. And I put my mother in the facility. Not long after that, my dad started having health issues of his own, which I had suspected. The whole time when he was caring for my mother, he failed to go to his doctor visits. He wasn't taking his medication. And he had type 2 diabetes as well as cardiovascular problems. So he let all that go by the wayside and he didn't do anything. So one day when my mom was in the facility, we went to go visit her and then we went to the grocery store on the way home. And my dad started having chest pain. And of course, I took him straight to the emergency room. It turned out he had had a 95% blockage in his heart. So the doctor told me, he said, he's probably had this for a while. And you're really lucky that you got him here when you did, because you could have lost him. That hit me hard. At that time, I knew both my parents needed help. My brother was absolutely no help to me whatsoever. I figured I was in this on my own. So that's when I decided to quit my job, become a full-time caregiver, and care for my parents. It was not long after that that my mother was had a more formal diagnosis of Lewy body dementia, which explained a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it also made me realize I had never even heard of Lewy body dementia. I had no idea what it was. I knew it was dementia, but I had no idea how much more in depth it was. It was, there's just so much more to it. And of course, it made me look back into the past thinking, how long has she actually had Lewy body dementia? Could this have been something that she had while I was growing up? You know, it would certainly explain a lot about her behavior. So, of course, those are things that I will never know. But it certainly has always left that door open to maybe it was Lewy body dementia. So after that, I realized my journey as a caregiver had begun.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Wow. So you sound like many of our caregivers, authors who have been caregivers that were thrust into the situation, into the role without any preparation at all. So how did Absolutely. You go about trying to figure out this new job?
Well, it sure wasn't easy. You know, I just kind of decided to take it day by day. I had to keep a close eye on my mother and manage all of her care as well as my father's. He had had surgery. I had to find all kinds of doctors, specialists for him. And he was still living with me, although he made it clear I'm still in good health. I want to live independently. And I said, okay, as soon as we get all of your situations figured out, we can do that. He also wanted to be near my mother. So we found an apartment building, an apartment complex that was right behind my mother's memory care facility. It was literally like a block away. We could see my mother's window from his window, which mm-hmm. was great. Mm-hmm. So we made a plan. My son, he was about 24 at the time. He was also looking for a roommate. He wanted to move out. So I came up with a plan and I thought, well, why couldn't they be roommates? So, and that way my dad wouldn't have to be alone. I wouldn't have to worry as much. And my son would have a really good roommate. They've always been buddies. So I thought, okay, I'm going to ask them. So they both thought it was a great idea. So they rent an apartment right behind my mother's facility. And my dad walked there every single day to go see my mom. So that's how we kind of kept that tie. We kind of kept them together without being completely apart. Mm-hmm. So that really worked out well. In fact, they're still, even now, they're still roommates and it still works out. So, and it's been almost 10 years now. So.
Wow, that's quite a while. How did all of this affect your family, your husband and your son? Do you have other children or just one son?
No, I also have a daughter mm-hmm. and three grandchildren. You know, it was difficult to explain because when I tried to tell my kids what I was doing, they always knew. I was always very honest with them about my past, and they knew that their grandma was not very approachable. So they really had almost a non-existent kind of a relationship with their grandmother. So they kind of wondered, why are you doing this, Mom? You know, why aren't you just staying away? And I kind of told them that I can't. Something in me just won't let me do that. I can't ignore them. I can't just not do anything. So my kids understood. My husband understood. I mean, there was many times when we questioned ourselves, why? You know, there were so many things that we missed out on because of last minute cancellations. You know, something would come up. We would have to miss a vacation. You know, a lot of things, you know, and also the financial burden of when I had to quit my career and it all fell to my husband. He took it very well. But again, there was that underlying strain that I think most of us as caregivers feel. But it all worked out. And I always told my children that, you know, if this ever happened to me, you know, what would you do? And then they kind of saw it in a different perspective. And they agreed that I was doing the right thing. It was a leap of faith for me to get involved with my parents again after all these years of being estranged from them. The emotions were so difficult to deal with because I was afraid of what might happen. I shielded myself by moving, by putting distance between us, and by caring for them, I put myself out there again. It was a risk, but I was willing to take the risk. And now I'm glad that I did.
So what was your relationship like with your mother at the end of her life?
You know, I was so grateful. We found peace, healing, and forgiveness. The dementia took away, it almost seemed to erase part of the memory of what made her so unhappy, so angry, so miserable. She became a totally different person. She was softer. She was more open to having a relationship with me. And we slowly formed a bond that I never thought we would have. And it was like that for the 2 years that she was in the nursing home, the care facility. And to me, it was a blessing. It brought us full circle because the dementia diagnosis was something that was so terrible and scary. But as terrifying as it was, it brought us together again, even though it was the thing that ultimately took her away from me again. But at least I could say that we had those last few years together and we were able to heal as a result.
That's beautiful. I'm glad that happened for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's not something you probably would have ever foreseen.
You know, never.
Yeah, it was a gift.
It was a gift. It really was. I envisioned my life as being forever without a mother. And this disease gave my mother back to me, even if it was for just a short time. And it was something that I could look back on and say, we finally did it. I finally had my mother. She was there, even when the rest of her memory wasn't, but that's what gave her back to me.
That's really poignant. So is that one of the rainbows that you talk about in your book, In Search of Rainbows? Tell us about your book.
Yes.
And tell us what made you decide to write it.
Sure. You know, I always think that there are no perfect families in this world, and everybody has family dynamics. But a lot of us don't talk about it. A lot of it, like, we like to keep it behind closed doors, and we like to keep it a secret. I was one of those people. I didn't ever want to talk about it. I was ashamed of it. But it was also something that I felt was necessary, that I had to get out there for others, because I knew I wasn't the only one that had to take that leap of faith and care for your parents, especially when you're the only one who's willing to do it. So I wanted to write my book to validate others and their experience. I wanted others to know that they weren't alone and maybe they could be encouraged by my story. It was difficult, so difficult for me to share all of my personal details. It was like just opening up my heart and letting everybody see inside things that I had ran from, hid from all of my life, but I knew that it wouldn't be in vain. I wanted to get my story out there for others so they would know that they had somebody else to connect with. They weren't alone.
That's so generous. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. These stories, your story and other stories that we have in our collection of books at All's Authors, are deeply personal, full of a lot of family secrets and angst, and also hope and joy as well. And
yes.
I think that for people who are on their own dementia journey, whether or not they've had a difficult relationship with a loved one or not, it really, being able to hear somebody else's story makes the road a little easier.
Yes, I agree. We don't feel like we're so alone out there. When I first started being a caregiver, I felt so alone. I had nobody to confide in. I always wished I could talk to my brother. My dad, we were pretty much a team and we leaned on each other, but it wasn't the same. Right. I couldn't really tell him how I was feeling, especially the emotions that still haunted me from my childhood. As dear as he is to me, still is to me, I couldn't share those things with him. He wasn't open to it. He would rather not hear it. And I didn't want to burden him with my problems, my worries. So I turned to writing and I journaled a lot and it really did help. And of course, eventually the journaling, it all became words for my book. So that was a great comfort to me, just to be able to write those feelings down, my worries, my fears, everything that I felt from my past and everything that was coming up in my present. I was connecting the dots for the first time in my life. And it was really eye-opening.
Yeah, a lot of the authors have started their books with a journal or a diary or even a blog to keep track of their experiences, the day-to-day activities and duties and their feelings. And I know that it's very helpful to have that. It's therapeutic and it's a way to preserve history and to validate your experience and to share it with others, especially family members who don't understand what's going on or don't want to see.
Right.
It's a great
tool for that. My children read my book. My daughter especially, and also my granddaughter, read my book after it was published 2 years ago. And they were surprised. I mean, I had always pretty much told my children my history, but I guess they just reading the feelings, the emotions that were involved, they were actually able to grasp it much better by reading my story. Rather than it coming from me, they could actually read it in my book and they could really relate to it and just know exactly what their mother went through. And even my daughter says, you know, Mom, I have a new respect for you and what you survived in your childhood. And that really, that meant so much to me. And my son hugged me after that. He says, wow, Mom, I really admire your courage for putting this out there. I know how difficult it was for you to publish this. And it was a battle. After I wrote it, I almost didn't publish it. Just because of all the family stuff out there, I thought, oh, if I do this, the whole world's going to see. And I kept thinking, well, what about people who know me personally? What about other family members? Are they going to hate me? Are they going to think differently of me? But, you know, pretty soon that didn't matter. The whole point of the matter was to get my story out there to help others. And that was my whole point, my whole purpose. Mm-hmm.
How did readers respond to the book?
You know, I got a lot of favorable reviews. People said that it was very relatable to them. They had had many experiences that were similar to that, and it gave them the courage and also the inspiration to deal with their own family situations. It gave them hope. Mm-hmm. And just reading those reviews, it meant so much to me. It just touched my heart.
Were these from people that you personally knew, or were they from just random readers?
Some of both. Some of them were friends. Some of them were people I had never met. Mm-hmm. They stumbled on my book, found it interesting, decided to buy it. And once they read it, it really resonated with them. And that was, it just meant so much to me. I knew that everything I wanted for my book was happening. Mm-hmm. And then dream come true for me.
Can you explain how you came upon the title In Search of Rainbows?
You know, that I struggled with a good title. So I kind of went back to what was I going through at the time. I was taking it day by day. because I really didn't know how else to do it. I couldn't see the future, and the past was always, well, there. And I wanted to keep a positive outlook. So rather than looking back and dwelling on the baggage that I still had, I wanted to look for something positive in every day. And if I looked hard enough, I could always find something. There was always a blessing there. There was always something to be grateful for. Some days my mom had a really, really bad day. She didn't recognize me. She wanted nothing to do with me. And of course, this was after we had established our new relationship as mother and daughter. And it would hurt because I always felt like, oh, now we're going in reverse again. And she's becoming the old mom. And I thought, okay, this is her disease. This is not her. And so I would always look for something positive. And it always felt like I was searching for rainbows. And it just kind of clicked one day. And I thought, yeah, that describes it. That's my title.
Great. I love it.
Thank
Are you prepared to read us something from the book?
Yes, I would love to.
Let's do that.
Sure. Anyone who has ever had the experience of caring for a loved one with dementia or any other cognitive disease knows firsthand how devastating it can be. The person you once knew is no longer there. No matter your relationship with them, good or bad, it is forever changed. In the case of my mother, she became a different person altogether. It was like meeting someone brand new. As the disease progressed, she was able to forget all the reasons why she was so unhappy, and her original self slowly emerged. Some might call it a gift or even a second chance. Either way, I was given an opportunity to have a different kind of relationship with her at the end. My life experience as a family caregiver was, and still is, the single most challenging chapter in my life. Caring for someone who doesn't necessarily care for you is a bag of mixed emotions that I struggled with every single day. It left me with a very difficult choice to make. I could either turn my back on the situation or take the risk and change the course of our lives. I will always thank God that I chose the latter because it was also the most rewarding chapter. I'm sharing my personal story in the hope that others may find comfort, perhaps a new perspective, or just the common understanding that we all share many struggles as families and human beings. No life situation is ever so difficult that it cannot be overcome with faith, whatever your belief system. On this very personal journey, I have discovered the power of love, healing, and forgiveness. This experience was, and forever will be, life-changing.
So how has your dementia experience changed you?
You know, in countless ways. I believe it has made me a better person. It has taught me more about life, love, and the human experience than any other experience in my life ever could have. It gave my mother back to me, something I never would have imagined could have happened. And for that, I will always be grateful.
If someone said to you today, my loved one has dementia, what would be your response?
I would let them know you are not alone. Empower yourself with information. Learn as much as you can about your loved one's disease. It will help you be a better caregiver. It will give you confidence. It will help you understand when things go wrong, and it will help you prepare for the future. Never be afraid to ask for help. And always, always have faith.
Yeah, that's so important.
Yes.
You talked about as a child, your mother's behaviors, they were very erratic and confusing and I'm sure frightening. What was the most frightening thing about her dementia?
I think it was the prospect of losing her again. She had abandoned me every possible way as a child, and she abandoned me physically, emotionally, mentally. And when we found each other again, we had been through so much together. Things were so different. It was something I didn't want to lose once I had found her again. But I knew the clock was ticking, and I knew we were living on borrowed time. and just the prospect of losing everything that we had worked so hard to gain, I was going to lose. And this time it would be for good.
You know, we take it for granted, those of us who have had good relationships with our moms, you know. I did, and my whole life we were very close. And she named me after her mother, whom she adored. And, you know, when my dad died when I was 15, we became co-parents. I was her, you know, I fulfilled a lot of his roles and helped her to raise my brothers because she had to go to work. And, you know, all through the rest of my adulthood and till the end of her life, we were just so strong. We had such a bond. So, I mean, I think a lot of us might take it for granted when we have the privilege, you know, the gift of that, to hear someone else's story when something that is so basic in life, you mm-hmm. know, is taken from someone. Somebody else doesn't have that. So
right.
I'm grateful that you shared your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel very privileged to do that.
Yeah.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So what else have you written? Have you written any other books?
Yes. My first self-published book was Optimal Caregiving. I wrote it after I became a caregiver, and I have a background in nutrition. So I, with all my dad's health issues, and of course, even my mother's, I wanted to find ways to help them that I otherwise couldn't. Again, it was part of the learning process of being a caregiver. My dad had diabetes. He had cardiovascular issues. He really was doing poorly when I started caregiving for him. And so I learned about nutrition. I became a nutritionist, a certified nutritionist. And I have always been a big believer in nutrition and natural health care. And I learned everything I could. And I started cooking my dad healthy meals. And I would freeze them, put them in the freezer for him. And we just changed his lifestyle. And it really was a game changer. His blood sugars came down. His doctor was giving me really good reports, and he was really in favor for what we were doing. And I was so proud of myself, and I was so glad that this was all working out so well. And I decided, you know, if I'm struggling with this, how many other caregivers out there are? I had joined a few caregiver groups, and we had talked about things like this, and I had shared a lot of my just things that I had learned with them. And somebody said, you know, you should write a book. And I thought, yeah, maybe I should. So that's exactly what I did. I wrote a book to help other caregivers. So that was the very first book that I wrote.
Great. And where can people find your books?
Both of my books are on Amazon. And they were both available in Kindle and paperback format.
Mm-hmm. And?
Oh, and of course, on Ulf Authors.
Nobody ever remembers to say that. And they're available in the Ulf Authors bookstore.
Exactly. First and foremost.
Where you will find more than 300 titles on Alzheimer's and dementia care written from personal experience. So I have to throw that in there. We've worked really hard on that bookstore. And Susan, you've been with us now for, is it 2 years?
2 years, yes.
You've been working with us as a volunteer on the management team. Everybody on All's Authors is a volunteer. Nobody gets paid to do anything that we do. But you've been with us for 2 years and you came on board to help us with our artwork for the social media posts and tweets and things that we put out. Do you want to share a little bit about your experience with that?
Sure. I create graphics and I try to bring out the author's, the story behind the story in my graphics. I share a little blurb from their essay and I try to create a graphic around that. And then I give a short little description about their book. And I try to bring to life what people see from the outside just by looking at the book. I want to kind of grab people's attention and say, hey, this might be the book for you. And so I kind of highlight some of those things that I think might do that, whether it's the picture, the blurb, or everything. I think that everything we see in this world is we see with our eyes and we are drawn to the beauty of things. It creates interest. It creates familiarity. And I think we have 10 seconds to look at something when we're scrolling through Facebook or social media of some kind. And when something grabs our eye, I think we latch onto that and we say, yes, that's what I want. That's the book I need. And that's kind of what I try to put out there when I'm making these graphics for our authors.
And just so our listeners are aware that Susan creates a new graphic every day that you will see on our social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And you can follow us and you can follow Susan and see what's up each day when she writes either about creates a drawing or creates a piece of art for a particular author's book or blog or other resource, or for one of our endeavors like the bookstore or the Amazon book club or just the website in general. So they're very colorful. They're eye-catching. And you've got some beautiful words that you attach to them. Sometimes it gets right to the heart of what we're trying to accomplish there. So we're really grateful to have, we're grateful to have you on our team.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I am so privileged to be a part of All's Authors. It really is just, you know, I am so grateful every day. And I love you guys so much. It's an honor.
Thank you. We love you too. This is just, we have a sisterhood.
Yes.
Although those who are not on the inside of this organization probably don't realize that none of us knew each other prior to connecting on Twitter, just because we had written books about Alzheimer's and dementia and didn't know how to market them. Basically, that was what we came up with, like a little marketing plan for three people. And now we're at 300, more than 300, and we have 7 people. And actually, we just added 2 new people to the management team. I don't even know if you know that, Susan. Do you know that?
No, I don't think I did.
We have 2 new people.
You're growing leaps and bounds. That's awesome.
Yeah, this week we invited our friend Roseanne Corcoran from Daughterhood, the podcast and the blog, Hey Ro, to come on board the management team, and she helps us with doing the technical side of our events. And she has a lot of knowledge. She's really super. And then Christy Yates is coming on board, and we hope, we got our fingers crossed, that she will be running a book club, some kind of an Ask the Author or Meet the Author event regularly.
That's wonderful.
So that is something else that we will be able to offer our followers.
Boy, we have really become quite a group, haven't we? I mean, this is just awesome that we have this to give to our listeners and, you know, everybody that's going through something. There is always something for them, no matter what the experience, it's there. You will find a book for you. There's so many genres, and I'm so proud to be a part of this great organization that's global. And, you know, I think that we have reached so many people, and especially in the last few years, you know, we have really grown, and I think it's really just catching on. that, you know, we're giving that message, you are not alone. Because I think that's a big thing when you're a caregiver. You do. You feel isolated and you feel very alone.
Yeah, I know I did. We're also adding other resources to the collection too now, including podcasts, excellent podcasts, and film as well. So we have our first filmmaker posting with us March 30th. So that's Susie Singer Carter, who did her mm-hmm. film, My Mom and the Girl.
Uh-huh.
So we're really excited about that. And she's also podcasting at Love Conquers All. So she's got like two different platforms going there. So because we learned that although Vicki, Jean, and I, the original co-founders for All's Authors, our whole thing was when we encounter a problem, we're big readers. So we look for a book to find an answer. Where am I going to find the answer to this question? I'll go to the library. I'll go to the bookstore. I'll go to a book. And we just figured mm-hmm. everybody did. But then as we were moving along with trying to get this off the ground, we kind of reached the conclusion that A, not everybody is into books like we are. And B, even if they are, caregivers rarely have time to sit down with a book. So that's what launched mm-hmm. the podcast.
And that's a very good point. Yes.
Yeah. So you can listen as you go and do something else that you have to do. And then film too. A lot of people prefer to sit down and watch a movie or a documentary rather than read a book. So we're going to move into some new territory for us here, expanding our base.
That is great that we offer so many resources to people out there, because now, you know, everything is online. And of course, that's another big thing for caregivers is they're isolated. It's hard for them to even leave the house. Mm-hmm. So have a computer and they can see all this, listen to all this online. It's such a benefit for them.
Yeah, it's truly revolutionary. That's for sure.
Yes.
For caregivers.
Absolutely.
You know, as long as they have access, they have the ability, you know, to function with devices, and a lot of older people don't. There are probably mm-hmm. a lot of caregivers out there that don't have a smartphone or don't go on the internet, so they don't get the benefit, which is kind of sad. I don't know how we can fix that, but there is a lot of information out there. But you know, at All's Authors, what we do is we find the really good stuff, so that you don't have to sift through a lot of stuff that doesn't, you know, may not be good quality or may not be helpful, because we you know, read all of the books that we present.
Right. And I'm glad too that we're about those books, because all of our books are top books and I think they have a lot to offer.
Yeah, there is a lot. There's a lot to learn, and you know, at least this way you might be able to find something that resonates with you that's going to make your journey a little easier.
Right, right.
Yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners before we say goodbye?
You know, I think All's Authors is just something that everybody in our position should really take a look at. There is so much beneath the surface of even what you see. We are growing in leaps and bounds, and there is just so much to offer out there. And I think it's a blessing that we have this now, because as we were saying before, people were so alone and felt so alone on this journey. And I think we speak loud and clear. You are not alone, and we are here for you.
That's right. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we'll see you in All's Authors world.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. CODA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist CODA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at CODA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.